Before I read our scripture, please bow with me in the prayer of illumination. Living God, help us so to hear your holy word that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The scripture this morning comes from Acts 2, 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. Life among the believers. All came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as they needed. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of the people. And day by day, the Lord added to the number of those who were being saved. The word of the Lord. It is amazing when you start to pray for a sermon, the idea you have and where you are led. I knew I wanted to be the topic to be fellowship. It is something this church does so well. We join together for quilters, breakfast buddies, serving at the shepherd's table, ladybugs, fellowship dinners, movie nights, and many more activities. These are outward signs we are gathering, but why are we gathering? And what do we get out of the fellowship? Sometimes we get a good meal, whether prepared by the loving hands of another church member or in a restaurant. We are still together as we break bread and are thankful for what we have and that we are together with one another. But how is Christian fellowship different than what we do out in our communities? Many of us go out and have to go to a chamber function of networking. So we go, and there are people there just like there are at church. But it's a little different. We take a business card maybe, and maybe we're representing our business. So we walk up to somebody and we say, "Good morning, my name's Cecilia Evans," and hand them a card and tell them what we do or what we sell. But we really don't really make that true connection a lot of times. We can check our box for what we've done at this networking event. So we go home, and I don't know how fulfilled we really are, except we're hoping for that phone to ring for us to sell that widget or for us to get that connection. But so we've really defined the definition of interacting with others to exchange information and develop a professional or social contact. But that's so different than what fellowship is. Fellowship is defined as a friendly association with others who have a shared interest. So I thought about that for a minute, and I thought we could play fellowship bingo this morning. Doesn't that sound like fun? But I kind of looked at the faces, especially Jean's, and she's shaking her head at me no. So I thought, what would be on our fellowship bingo card about some of the reasons that we come to celebration? Friendliness may top the list. A group of Christian believers, comfortable with the teaching of the church. Maybe we're lifelong Presbyterians, or maybe we just live close by. I'm sure you have something you could put on that bingo card, but I'm going to let you fill that out personally and not ask for you to share that with us right now. I will start and end with fellowship, but there are many F's we can think about that go with fellowship. Friendship, faith, and fun. And at the end, I'll get to food, but as we think about friendship in the Bible, according to the Bible, true friendship is characterized by love. In Proverbs, the example of David and Jonathan, instructions to the church, and ultimately Jesus' example, depicts true friendship. A true friend loves, gives wise counsel, remains loyal, forgives, and promotes the welfare of others. In John 15, 12 through 15, we read, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friend if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Author Wesley Baines penned an article about the five greatest friendships of the Bible. He stated, to have a true friend, you must have three elements. We're back to love, loyalty, emotional openness, and three essential traits that psychologists deem necessary for friendship to thrive. This is demonstrated in the following references to friendship. I did not pick five, so if you're counting, there will not be five. David and Jonathan sitting, so we think about David and Jonathan. Jonathan sitting and gave up power for David and warned us him of Saul's betrayal, and their souls were knitted together through love. Baines also mentions Aaron and Moses. So as we think about Aaron and Moses, we know that Aaron was always there for Moses, willing to give a voice to what Moses needed done. He was an advocate for a great partner, sharing his talent to speak out. Often we find a friend or our partner who compliment us and help us to be better. Do you have that friend or partner that helps you be better? Look at Ruth and Naomi. Naomi encourages Ruth to leave and to find a new place that accepts her. But instead, Ruth stays and is loyal to Naomi, making a huge sacrifice. The last friendship I'm going to mention is that of Jesus. With his followers, he made the ultimate sacrifice of dying for our sins. He also provided constructive criticism to help challenge each of us to be the better than what we are. As I think about what that friend is, it reminds me of one of the songs we sang this morning, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And that reminds us that no matter what, we can take it to the Lord in prayer that he's there for us. What a special friend and advocate we have in Jesus. Faith is my next word. I was trying to select a verse, but in typical fashion, I was multitasking and went to the children's site to look up Sunday school curriculum. So the word on the site said, break free of the word school in Sunday school. I thought, well, that's kind of odd. Faith is a relationship. I clicked the link to read a little further and explore the author's thought process. Think about the facts you have learned about God. They have served to deepen your relationship with God. So don't treat Sunday like the rest of the week or Sunday school like the rest of the week. It is about creating a time to build a relationship and not just complete a task. So as we look at faith and building relationships with God, we may see that faith demonstrates in a desperate situation that person chooses faith at great personal risk, reputation, security, life, and death. Or maybe there's just a miraculous movement of God in response to an act of faith. I'm going to share with you a time when I was 16 years old, and my grandmother died on a Sunday morning. So I wanted to go to church. I felt that's where I needed to be. And my family made a decision that they weren't going to go. So my grandmother lived in a small town called Farmville, North Carolina. So her best friend lived across the street, and her name was Cherry. My grandmother didn't drive, so we always called Cherry, and she took us wherever we wanted to go. So Cherry was a Presbyterian, and my mama called Miss Cherry and said, are you going to church this morning? And as faithful of a Presbyterian as she was, she said no, that she was not going to church, that she was sad over the loss of her friend. My mother was not to be deterred, so she called another friend that lived next door, who was an Episcopalian. So she asked Ruth, are you going to church this morning? And Ruth said no, she wasn't going. So she thought, who else can I call? Because my mother had lived away from there for 50 years. So she called her best friend from high school, who was Mary. And Mary was a Methodist. And she said, Mary, are you going to church this Sunday? She said, no, I'm not going to church this Sunday. So I don't know what was going on in Farmville, but nobody was going to church. So lastly, she called a neighbor, who we call Aunt B, who isn't related. But Aunt B was a Baptist. And she said, Aunt B, are you going to church this Sunday? And hallelujah, Aunt B was going to church. So I was going to be a Baptist that Sunday. So we walked through this neighbor's yard, and I got in the car with Aunt B and her grandchildren. And I can't tell you what the sermon was about that Sunday, except it was about the loss of a loved one. I can't share those words with you, but I was put in the right place that Sunday. So I'm not quite sure whether it was divine intervention or mother's persistence to get me to the right place and to do what I needed that Sunday. But you know, it tells you God answers prayers in a unique way and that we must have faith. As I think about faith and relationships, the song Blessed Be the Ties That Bind Our Hearts in Christian Love, the fellowship our spirit finds is like that above. Our faith and relationship creates the fellowship that binds us together, the common theme of Christian love. When I pick the word fun, I thought it was nice with fellowship, faith, and friendship. How many times have you seen that on a sign? Faith, fun, and fellowship. So as I looked at these words, I think as we each do and work together, but fun really is different than what we want to think. Do you know how many times the word fun is used in the Bible? We look at the different translations. So if we look at our traditional version, the King James Version, or the New Revised Standard, it's not used at all. It's used in the Message and the New Living Translation many more times. Now I was getting somewhere. I have 142 references to the word fun. But as I read further, 125 of those had a negative connotation. And the 17 others often involve fun at someone else's expense. So fun did not seem to fit with the cohesive theme of today. Unfortunately, people often bond together and enjoy taunting or tormenting and consider this fun. Proverbs 10:23 says, "An empty head thinks mischief is fun, but a mindful person relishes wisdom." Good advice, but still not where I wanted to take the word fun. So did I need to change my message about all the F's and change it to joy or enjoyment? After pondering this for a moment, the answer was no. I think it was placed as a reminder that sometimes in friendship and fellowship, we stray from the way and maybe gossip or bully one another. So it stays as a great reminder, back to the word fun in the modern day sense. When I listen to various members describe an event I may not have been present at, it's usually with a smile on their face. I was at lunch the other day with Ann Brillier, and she had gone to Shepherd's Table. And so I think they were cooking a lot of eggs from what I heard. They cracked eggs. But she was just telling about how much fun it was with the smile and energy on her face about serving the community and working with others in the church. So they fried some sausage, and I heard Donna was on the grill cooking eggs for an hour to serve the people. So it continued on. But then there was a lady who was not from the church, so she asked them a question. She goes, how many of you are from the South? As we know, our church is, we're very blessed to have many that have come and found us at Celebration, but we don't have many true Southerners, and we needed to cook some grits. So when they all shook their head no, this woman asked for a stool and a big pot and some grits and some water. And then she proceeds to, we dump all this together, and she has her whisk and her spoon, and she's mashing the lumps out against the side. And she keeps on asking Ann for some more water. And she goes, "Is it hot?" Ann says, "As hot as I can get it out of the faucet." So this goes on, and Ann's finally promoted to grit stirrer. So this is really big. But the point of the story is that it's about fellowship and friendship that they're building together and the bond that we have in the community. So brought together by a common goal of fellowship, but they took faith, fun, and friendship in the community to serve. There are many special moments that we have with each other that show our bond as we laugh and play together. The community of the church, if we ask to sum up faith, fun, and friendship, in one word could be summed up in fellowship. Fellowship is critical to the life of the church. Christianity is not a spectator event that happens on Sunday. We saw that with the puzzle pieces that the youth had in the youth sermon, that they talked about how vital each one of us were making to the Christian fellowship, and that our diversity in the pieces bring us all together to serve. It is common shared life with other believers. In our scripture this morning, we heard about early believers gathering together to hear the word, pray, sing, and have fellowship together. Through their strength of overcoming and meeting with each other, Christianity grew. A healthy Christian community attracts people to Christ. The Jerusalem church's zeal for worship and brotherly love was contagious. A healthy, loving church will grow in numbers. What are you doing to make your church the kind of place that will attract others to Christ? I will end with a story about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a pastor in Nazi Germany who had a strong opposition to Nazi dictatorship. Due to these views, he was arrested, held, and transferred from prison to prison between 1943 to 1945. Everyone that he knew was severed from him. So he was a very religious man, but he didn't have anybody around him, and he was in prison. He lost, according to his own testimony, the most precious possession he had, and that was fellowship. Prior to his imprisonment, Bonhoeffer wrote a book called Life Together. It is based on Psalm 133, which says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, and down on the collar of his robe. It is as if a dew of Hermon was falling of Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing ever life more." Bonhoeffer wrote the book in the richness of fellowship, which he during his imprisonment led up to his death lost. This is what he said: "The physical presence of Christians is a source of incomparable joy and strength to believers, a physical sign of gracious presence of the triune God. How inexhaustible are the riches that open up for those who, by God's will, are privileged to live in daily fellowship of life with other Christians." Further, he wrote, "Let him who has such a privilege thank God on his knees and declare, 'It is grace, nothing but grace, that we are allowed to live in fellowship with Christian brothers and sisters.' That's the church. That's the church. We are blessed as a church to be able to gather in fellowship after the service. Let us rejoice and be thankful for each other as we enjoy the food, fellowship, friendship, faith, and fun." Please stand as I bless the food, followed by the charge and benediction, and our closing hymn. Please bow with me for the prayer for lunch. How we thank your Father for the opportunity to meet together for fun and fellowship with other members of the body of Christ around a table of plenty filled with many blessings of your bountiful abundance. We thank you for the food that is being shared and for those that have lovingly shared their offerings on this table. And we ask your blessing on each one as we meet together for a time of refreshments and fellowship. Thank you for all your many blessings and gifts you provide us each day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'll leave you with this charge and benediction. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another. With whatever gifts each of you have received, whoever speaks must do so as speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To God be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.